All right, friends, would you take the Bibles that you have at your side and would you turn with me to Romans chapter 14? And I want to read with you three verses, verses 7, 8, and 9. These words written by the Apostle Paul, these words that were meant for those that he was writing to in the first century, but certainly meant for us today as well. In verse 7, he says, "For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living." And the question that I want to ask you is, when the going gets rough in your life, what gets you through it? Where does your hope and your strength lie? And I ask that question because, as I said earlier at the beginning of our time together, things aren't getting any better. This COVID virus continues to spread rapidly in our country. These are very strange times, and it feels strange, or I should say it feels stranger every day to us. And who would have imagined, as we gathered here 3 weeks ago in March 8, as we sang together and as we prayed together and as we were together in worship, that now 3 weeks later we still wouldn't be able to be together? Who would have thought about that? Who would have ever thought that we would be under an executive stay-at-home order, that we would be working out of our homes or perhaps furloughed, or our hours reduced, or doing online school at our homes? Who would have thought of that? And even if we wanted to leave our homes, really, where would we go? Because aside from gas stations and grocery stores, most of the places that we might go and frequent are closed. So this continues to be a massive disruption of our lives, leaving us to feel like, well, life is on hold, and trying to figure out how we can adjust to the new normal. Every day we continue to hear about increasing numbers of diagnosed COVID cases in the world and in the United States and here in Michigan. And by the way, Michigan has the fifth largest number of COVID cases in our country. And every day it just, the numbers are exponentially greater. Every day we hear reports, sometimes mixed, sometimes contradictory, out of Washington, while the national health officials are telling us that we're not going to be out of the woods anytime soon. And we need to be prepared for these kinds of restrictions for a longer term rather than a shorter term. It is a very strange reality in which we live. And it brings out, it seems, both the best and the worst of people in our country. I mean, we have all heard reports of price gouging and of ridiculous hoarding. And we've heard reports of scams, including the one where you pick up the phone and they're offering a COVID-19 test kit. And oh, by the way, if you only give them your credit card information, then they'll be sure to send you one in the mail. Oh, and then what about the story of this man in a grocery store who intentionally went over and coughed on a person pushing a grocery cart and then laughingly said that he had COVID-19. I mean, really. But it also seems to bring out the best of people. We hear stories of people selflessly giving help to their neighbors, to contacting their neighbors and doing extraordinary things for their neighbors. And I don't know about you, but I was deeply moved by the story that came out of Italy by this by this Catholic priest who, at the age of 72, had contracted the virus and had died because he had refused to take a ventilator, because he had insisted that these ventilators that were in awfully short supply and were being rationed, that ventilator be given to a younger patient. And interestingly, at least to me, he is now being compared, this 72-year-old priest that gave up the ventilator is being compared to Father Maximilian Kolbe, the man that I referred to 3 weeks ago, who during the Holocaust died in the place of a complete stranger voluntarily. I think for many of us, this has been a week filled with roller coaster emotions. We've all experienced, I'm sure, of a wide variety, many different kinds of emotions. There's been times when we've been hopeful, you know, we can get through this, this can't last forever, the economy will recover. And then there's been times in which we have felt isolated and alone, times when we have felt unsettled and vulnerable because our sense of safety and security has been taken away from us, times when we've felt that we've lost our autonomy and our sense of control because so much of what is happening around us is just completely out of our hands. And then there's times when we feel anxious. How long is this going to last? Am I going to be laid off? Is it only a matter of time? What about my retirement savings? Will they recover? A fear of picking up the virus or unwittingly, unknowingly passing the virus along to somebody else? Many different kinds of emotions. Oh, what about my elderly parents that I can't visit? I mean, we've all seen these pictures of people who are standing outdoors at a retirement facility looking through the windows into the rooms of their elderly parents. And that's really pretty sad. So, yeah, sadness and disappointment, deep disappointment is another emotion that we no doubt have experienced, felt at one time or another in these last couple of weeks. A great season on the court ends before the final games can be played. And wedding and birthday gatherings postponed. And spring break vacations just not going to happen. Long planned, but is not going to happen. I mean, all of this is the stuff of our lives. Just know that you aren't the only person to feel this wide range of emotions. I mean, all of this has hit us, impacted our lives in different ways, but while we may have different feelings and different thoughts, still there's an awful lot that we share in common. Still, there is so much that we find similar with each other. Which leads me to ask, what, when the going gets rough, in what do you find your hope and your strength? When the going gets rough, how do you get through this? A few days ago, I came across an op-ed which was entitled, very interesting, which made me want to read it, "When We Come to the End of Our Strength, the Universe Will Hold Us." And it promised that the stillness of a fearful and pounding heart can be replaced by the stillness of a quiet trust. But in a quiet trust, in what exactly? Well, the reader is left to wonder. A quiet trust in the universe? Again, let me ask you, when you come to the end of your strength, who will hold you? In whom or in what are you placing your trust? Almost 460 years ago, the framers of the Heidelberg Catechism asked the same question, only they put it this way. What is your only comfort in life and in death? Meaning to say, what gives you strength in life? What gives you hope, even in and especially in the storms of life when the going gets difficult? What enables you to stand as women and men and boys and girls capable of facing life with all of its volatility? And the answer, well, as Katie recited earlier in our service this morning, is this, that I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. An answer, by the way, straight out of the passage that we read this morning, Romans chapter 14. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Some years ago now, I officiated at the funeral of a man who had died in his early 60s, very suddenly, very unexpectedly. And I called his wife about a week later after the funeral just to find out how she was going, how she was doing. And she said, well, you know, I was trying to clean out my husband's closet. I was trying to take care of his clothes. And I don't know if it was just too soon or what, but I just broke down. And I have felt this overwhelming sense of loss. And I just grieved. And I just cried. And she said, I didn't know what to do. But I remembered the words that I had memorized as a little girl, the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, the first question and answer. And I started reciting those words. And through those words, God reminded me again that I'm not on my own, but that I belong to Him. And then I knew, she said, then I knew that I was going to be able to get through this somehow. Now, the Heidelberg Catechism is an intensely personal confession because it says, what is your comfort in life and death? What's your comfort? That I am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. The Catechism is not impersonal or academic rehearsal. That's a better way of saying it. It is not an academic rehearsal of the main teachings of the church, but rather it is a very personal confession of faith that pulsates with the heartbeat of the living Word of God. This is what we believe. This is what the Bible teaches. And this is these truths of Scripture are what we stake our lives on and what we draw our strength from. These are truths that make all the difference in our lives. You and I are not on our own, because in body and soul, in life and in death, you think about that with me now, because what else is there, right? There's body, and then there's soul, and then there's life, and there is death. In other words, that you and I fully, completely, now and for all times, belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. So what gives you hope? Where do you draw your strength from in times like this? In the difficult days that we're facing, in these surprising days, sometimes fearful days, how do we get through this? Well, for believers like that wife who was attempting to take care of her husband's clothes in the closet, believers, for us, it's the awareness that we don't belong to ourselves. It's the awareness that we're not on our own, but we belong to somebody who's far greater than ourselves, none other than the Lord of the universe. None other, says the Apostle Paul, than the Lord of the dead and the living. And that one fact makes all the difference to us. I belong, and I hope and trust and pray that you belong in body and soul. In other words, all of me, in life and death. In other words, for all times, to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And come what may, if you remember the words of Romans chapter 8 that we thought about last week, come what may, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus. Words, by the way, that came from a man who encountered such hardship and difficulty and pain in his life. And how does this happen? Well, the Catechism goes on to say, He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. In perfect alignment with Paul's words found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, for those of you who are taking notes, verses 19 and 20, in which Paul writes, You are not your own. You were bought at a price. It's what we've been focusing together in this season of Lent, isn't it? I mean, we've been thinking about the death of Christ, who hung there on the cross in our place, in the darkest of hours, in those final hours of His life. He paid the punishment. He took care of the moral debt for us, only 3 days later to rise again triumphantly, only 3 days later in His rising to pry off the adversary's death grip from our shoulders. And so we're free, as the confession says, we're free from the tyranny of the devil. The devil no longer has any right to claim our lives. We're forgiven. We're redeemed people. God welcomes us as His daughters and sons. You're mine, He says. I have a claim on your life. I have plans for you. I have this bright future for you. You belong to me, and nothing will be able to separate the two of us. Nothing. Now, if God loves you and if He loves me enough to give the gift of His Son and send His Son to the cross for us, then you can be sure that He's going to continue to be very invested in your life. He's going to continue to be very involved in your life, which is why the Catechism then goes on to say, He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Now, this doesn't mean that everything is going to happen just as I would hope it to happen for me or in the lives of people that I love and care about, because we know that that is not true. It doesn't mean that our lives are free from the effects of living in a fallen world. We know that that's not true, right? It doesn't mean that we're isolated and free and don't have to be concerned about the curse of this virus that threatens us and is rapidly spreading across this globe. You know, sometimes we do lose our jobs. Sometimes we do encounter difficulty and hardship, for sure. That's been our life's experience, and at times anyway, and that's what we observe in life. Sometimes the things that we're most often afraid of do happen, but in and through it all, God is committed to you, and He's committed to me. In and through it all, He's committed to our salvation. And in and through it all, God is yet in control, as we thought about last week, and He remains committed to the full realization of His good plans and purposes for your and my life and for the lives of His people and for this world that He created. And one day it will be fully realized. And in and through it all, He is present with us, and He invites us to place our trust and our hope in Him and to draw our strength in difficult and fearful times from Him. And then this deeply meaningful, very personal confession concludes with these words: "Because I belong to Him, Christ by His Holy Spirit assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him." Whatever the circumstances of our lives, Christ is at work through His Spirit, reminding us of who we are and whose we are, reminding us that we are His deeply loved sons and daughters whose salvation is secure and whose eternal destiny is not in doubt. And whatever comes our way, whatever we face in life, there is ultimately going to be a very bright future for all of us who believe. And that gives us perspective, doesn't it? It gives us perspective to face the difficulties and the harsh realities and the challenges of the here and now. It gives us encouragement and strength and hope in these uncertain, troubled days. But more than that, it inspires us out of gratitude, out of sheer gratitude, to live our lives for Him, as this confession says. And even more, it energizes us, especially in this time in which people are so focused on themselves and so focused on protecting and keeping safe their family and their loved ones. It energizes us to think not only of ourselves, but also to think of our neighbors who are in need, and to think about how we might reach out to them in appropriate ways in this time, with the love of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to conclude with this. I want to close our time by simply saying this. There are times in life when I just can't imagine facing certain things on my own. And for me, this is one of those times. Now, I want to encourage you sometime today to go in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4 and look at the end of that chapter. And I'm thinking of like verses 14 through 16. And this is the way that that chapter concludes, the last verse. "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." You know, as a pastor, I see the reactions of many different people and many different reactions. I see the reactions of people who face stays in the hospital. I see the reactions of people at funerals and sometimes at visitations. I see the reactions of people when they're suddenly confronted with a tragedy or a crisis that no one could have predicted. And I don't know how people can make it without the Lord. Well, the truth is, a lot of them don't. The truth is, a lot of folks are deeply scarred. But you see, you and I belong to the Lord. We belong to Him. We belong to Him because we have been bought, says Paul, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the confession. That is the conviction from which we as believers ought to begin every day of our lives. And from this stance, you and I can face with confidence whatever may threaten us, whatever may cause a certain measure of anxiety and fear. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. But whether we live or die, you and I and all who believe belong to the Lord. So in what do you place your hope when the going gets rough? In these difficult and troubled days, what is it that you place your trust in? Now let's pray together. Lord God, for your word again to us this morning, we thank you. We've listened very carefully, and we've tried to absorb it and to take it all in. And we're so grateful, Lord, for this teaching. And we pray that you will keep it ever before us as we move forward into the new week and into the unknown of this new week. Remind us again and again that we are in your hands, that we belong to you through Jesus Christ, who gave his life for each one of us. And we thank you for that. Now give us strength, give us fortitude, give us confidence, not in ourselves, but in who we are, in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, friends, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be kind and gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace. Now, in these difficult times, and always, amen.